At 4 minutes, if you're still going, I'll give you a one signal like this. Okay? And at 5 minutes, I'll stand up and I'll just say, thank you, dear brother. Let's now sit down. Okay? So watch for me over here, amen. But I'm going to ask Brother Justin Hayes. You're up first. And folks, I don't care if he sneezes. Let's give him an amen. Amen. Come on up, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I was debating whether I was going to do anything or not, but I think the Holy Spirit just spoke for me. So, if you would turn to Judges quickly in your Bible, Judges chapter 3, one of my favorite stories of the Bible. But I was reading this today in my devotions, and God really just impressed upon my heart something I hadn't seen before. I'm going to read you two verses out of Judges chapter 3. Look at verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, and Ehud came unto him, speaking about Eglon, coming unto Eglon, and Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in his summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. Notice that. I have a message from God unto thee. But then notice this. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly.
Amen.
Now, this is, like I said, one of my favorite stories. And Eglon is the king of Moab. And just like in the Judges, the whole book of the Judges, Israel is under captivity once again. 18 years under the Moabites. And they are working for the Moabites. They're their servants. They do their work for them. They serve them day in and day out. That's their life. But then they cry out to God, and God gives them a judge, a deliverer, to take them out of that bondage. And Ehud is that judge. And Ehud devises a plan to fulfill God's will in his life. And that was to release the Israelites from the bondage of the Moabites. And so Ehud, him being a left-handed man, how many of you are left-handed in the house tonight? Southpaws, man, we don't have any.
Thank God.
Wow, I am not one. But Ehud, after this lesson, you'll say, I'll never trust a left-handed man again. But Ehud made a dagger, and that dagger had two edges, and he put it upon his right thigh. See, he knew that when he went in before the king to take a present to the king, that the guards would check his left thigh. Why? Because the predominant hand of the day was right-handed, just like we have today. And if somebody is right-handed, they're not going to be pulling a dagger off of their right thigh, are they? They're going to be pulling the dagger off their left thigh. But Ehud, being left-handed, he was able to put the dagger on his right thigh and conceal it from the guards, and they wouldn't check. Because why? Ehud had a message to take to Eglon the king. And that message was to release these people, and Eglon paid with his life. Can I tell you this? We have a message from God to this lost and dying world. But you know what? We don't have a physical dagger. We don't have a sharp sword that we put on our thigh. But I can tell you this. We need to take up the sword of the Word of God.
Amen.
And deliver our message. I want you to notice that Ehud, he got before the king, Eglon. But he was sitting down in his chair. And in order to deliver his message, you know what he had to do? He had to puff up out of his seat. He had to get up off of his seat. He had to go and do something, stop being sedentary, pull out his sword, and deliver his message. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you are still sitting down? We have a message to take to this lost and dying world. You know what that message is? It's the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, we like Ehud, we need to deliver our message. You see, if Ehud had just stayed in that comfortable chair in the king's parlor, the message never would have been delivered. And the Israelites would have served the Moabites, most likely until all of them died. We have a message to deliver, y'all. Unless we get up off of our seat and take the sword and thrust it into this world, we'll never do the job that God has called us to do.
Amen.
You see, because you and I don't have a choice in the matter. God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It wasn't if you feel like it. It wasn't if you want to. It's just go.
Amen.
You see, we don't have a choice in the matter.
But we do have a choice in our obedience to God's command. Will you deliver the message that God's called you to deliver? That's it.
Amen. Good.
All right. Who wants to preach next or give a testimony? Doc, come on up.
It's not my works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not my works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Oh, I am complete in Jesus my Savior. I am complete. Hallelujah. Complete in Him. I am complete in Christ. I am neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. I'm a layman, a complete illiterate when it comes to Bible. But I'm glad I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I believe I received a repertoire, a short summary of all the message that we have been listening to. And I pray that the message of this weekend will not testify against any of us in Jesus' name. A lot has been said. Unfortunately, we have no excuse.
That's right.
Take him along with you. In Mark chapter 4, verse 36, God told me, now take him along with you. Mark 4, 36. Having delivered the message, in the next 15 hours, we'll begin to move and go into the world. If you lose your Bible, if you lose the memory stick, if you lose the jotter, if you lose this pamphlet, take him along with you.
Amen.
And why must you take him along with you? I tell you the truth. Satan is no respecter of anybody.
That's right.
Satan did not respect the almightiness of Jesus Christ with them.
That's right.
The Almighty Jesus was with them. They were going on the journey. And he was so bold to even come into them. How much more if he were not there? In Job chapter 1 verse 10, right from 6. God was having a family meeting with his kids. And Satan was bold enough to even come around and see what they were doing.
Yeah, that's right.
My God. If Satan could come in where God was, where Christ was, how much more you and I, you want to go alone?
Yeah.
You are lost. He has to go along with you. Why? Number one, there are bends in the road. Let me remind you, a bend in the road may not be the head of the road.
Yeah. Amen.
Think from Badona from Cork here. How many bends do you have on that road?
Hundreds.
Are the road ended? No! There are bends. I hear the road continue.
Yeah.
So there are bends in your road, and that's the truth. There are hills, there are ups and down. Okay? But that's not the end of your road. You will make it.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you the truth. Safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God.
Amen.
Safety is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God. That's why I love that verse in my head, in my mind, all I chew it. Exodus 33 verse 14. It says, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Goodness me. Who's next? Come on up, Brother Kevin.
Hello.
Hello.
Will you turn to the book of Exodus, please? To verse 20, to chapter 20. And verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So that's just one of the first commandments. Now after that, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles, please. Verse 14.
What chapter?
Chapter 14. 12. Verse 12. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. So we should burn our gods. Like, if we have false gods at home, pornography, anything should be burnt. And then I want to turn to the next 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and his judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, ye chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even the covenant which he had made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, had confirmed the same to Jacob for the law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Say unto thee, I will give the land of Canaan, the lot of you inheritance, when you were but a few strangers, and thou went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another kingdom. He suffered no man to do them wrong, he refused kings for their sakes, saying, and touch not my anointment, and to do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord,
amen,
and greatly to be praised.
Yes,
he also is to be feared above all gods.
Amen.
For all gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honour are in the presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and the fullness therefore, let the fields rejoice, and Lord, that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name. and give and die praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. And praise the Lord. So let there be before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. And Obadiah with their brethren, 80 Obadiah, also the son of Judah, and Hobnath to be porters, and Zerah the priest, and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place that was at Gibeon. Oh God.
Amen. 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 It's nice when everything you say is true. Amen. Amen. Good night, man. You couldn't but amen at that. Amen. All right. Somebody got a testimony, Brother Paul. Come on up. Amen. Hit it.
You can preach if you want to. You got 5 minutes
left. How's it going, everybody? I'm just going to come up and just talk a few minutes about what God's doing in the men's home up in Tala. Up in Tala, we have a huge drug problem. And last year, just over a year ago, Leighton Kelly had a vision from the Lord to open a men's home and to reach out to the addicts of Dublin. I was living in Scotland at the time. I was a heroin addict for 12 years, and the Lord took me out of all that. First of all, Pastor Pittman always says, and rightly so, he always says for me to say that the day I got saved was 19th of July, 1:05 in the morning, watching a Kent Hovind DVD.
Yep.
Year 2006, and my life has never been the same since. I was living on the streets, and the Lord took me from all that, and he now has me being in the men's home, helping these men. And some people think that miracles stop in the Book of Acts. I get to see miracles every day. I see the men wake up in the morning and they're shouting praise the Lord first thing. They're praising God in the morning, they're praising God when they go to bed. That's just a testimony I just wanted to do, to say what God's doing up in Tala. You know, he's doing amazing things up there. And, you know, he's not just changing the men, he's changing me from just being with them. You know, God's always refining us, he is. And, you know, I believe that God has taken these men, and he's not just taking them to be saved and Sunday morning Christians.
Amen.
God hasn't done that for anybody. I think God, you know, has saved us because we are there called. It's not just we are called to his purpose, we are there called. And I believe God wants to use each and every one of us. And I know the men believe that as well.
Yes.
Pastor, is it okay if I just read a poem? Okay. This is just a poem, just to finish off. It's called Fight Again. I will not go forward just now and then. I'll keep it up. I'll fight again. I'll look to God and not to men. I won't look back. I'll fight again. Against the devil, it's me he'll defend. I'll gird up my armor and I'll fight again.
Yep.
For his love for me, his son he did send. So always for him, I'll fight again.
Amen.
And when I fall, in him I'll depend. Then I'll get back up and I'll fight again. Then when I'm in heaven, with Jesus my friend, I will praise the Lord because I fought again.
It's getting good. Anybody else want to preach? Are you kidding? There's no ball up here. Get up here, brother.
My name is Alberto. I'm 17. I want to talk about how I got saved.
Amen.
I was at home on Saturday morning, and Pastor Pittman went and knocked on my door, and he asked me, "Do you go to church?" I said, "Yeah, I do go to church. I go to Solid Rock." And you said, "I didn't have a clue what was that. I just gone to church, but I didn't have a clue." And I said, "Yes, I am." "When did you get saved?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "You should know." I said, "I really don't know what he said." And he said, "Do you want to be saved now?" I said, "Yes." "You trust Jesus as your Savior?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he did that. And since that day, before he went to my house, I was asking the Lord to give me a church near my house, because I didn't have possibilities to go to the church in Georgia all the time, because I could have gone only on Sundays when my parents gone, but I wanted to go on Wednesday as well. So I asked Lord to give me a church near my house, and then after 2 weeks, Pastor Pittman came to my house.
Amen.
And then he asked me, if you want to get saved, I said, "Yes, I do want to get saved."
Amen.
And after 1 week, he said me 19th of January of this year. And then after 1 week, I called him, I rang him, and I said, I want to come to your church. And he said, yeah, I'll organize that. I'll send somebody to pick you up. And he did, and now I'm glad. Since that day, I'm not the same person.
Amen. Amen. Come on. So, yeah.
Amen. I'm just rejoicing in heaven, man. We just... Praise God. When was that? 19th of January. Baby. Wow. Amen. Amen. Who's next? Oh, boy. I've been looking forward to this man to come up. Amen. Praise God.
I'm just going to share something with you that's been a burden to me the last few weeks. So if you'll go to Genesis chapter 18, in verse 23 to 25. Chapter 18, verse 23-25. And Abraham drew near. This is Abraham, and you probably know it very well. When Abraham was looking at the city of Sodom, when he was trying to get Lot out of the city of Sodom, and God said to him that he was basically going to destroy Sodom for the fact that they'd committed them. Well, they committed abominable things, such as they were all given into homosexuality and fornication, stuff like that, And Abraham said, well, won't you save them, the city, if there's, say, 100 people who are righteous in the city? And God said, I would, but there wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then he said, would you save if the city if there's 50 righteous people? And he said, I would, if there was, but there wasn't. Mm-hmm. And would you save them if there's 10? And he said, I would, if there was, but there wasn't.
Wow.
And anyway, Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure they be... There be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be fair from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be fair from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Yeah.
And there's something that really bothers me today about a lot of Christianity and a lot of churches that call themselves Christian churches, although I doubt whether a lot of them are, but that... It's really this fact that they ignore God's justice. They ignore God that God is a righteous judge, and he's a perfect judge. I'm sick and tired of hearing churches that say, oh, God, Jesus is your great big cosmic buddy, and don't worry about it. You know, Jesus loves you, and you can be whatever you want to be because God just loves you, and he's just going to accept you exactly the way you are. And the fact is that they're partially true in what they're saying, because it's like they say, come as you are. If you're a sinner and you want to get saved, come as you are. But the thing is, what they say afterwards then, you can do basically whatever you like, do as you please. You know, God's going to be all right with it. He'll forgive you. You know, but the fact is, and he will, if you get right with him and have the right attitude. But, you know, God's a righteous judge, and he's a perfect judge. And I'm just sick and tired of people ignoring that, and Christians as well. What right do Christians have to gloss over one of the most important aspects of God?
Amen.
I mean, it's like they say, oh, God is good, God is loving, and yet there are verses that say that, but what they also forget to say that God is good and he is merciful forever. He's always merciful, and his mercy endures forever. What does that mean? Well, that means, why would he have to be merciful if God's just going to accept us exactly the way we are and we don't have to change anything? Yeah. It's because he forgives sin and he is merciful. But the fact is, if we're not willing to get right with God as saved or unsaved people, then he will have to judge us.
Right.
I mean, why in the book, and there's a lot of churches that say, oh, all that Old Testament stuff about judgment and doom and gloom, you know, isn't that terrible? Shouldn't we just love people? But the New Testament talks about God's judgment.
Amen.
Look at the book of Revelation when it talks about the great white throne of love. The great white throne of mercy. The great white throne of God's fluffy love. You know, it's the great white throne of judgment.
Yes.
Dearie me, I mean, what's wrong with these Christians? I mean, all they have to do is read the New Testament. And they say, oh, the Old Testament's terrible. Just read the New Testament. Don't worry about the Old Testament. They were very pessimistic or depressing at that time. Well, okay, you read the New Testament. If you read it at any length, which sadly a lot of these Christians don't, they forget to see that the Old Testament correlates with the New Testament precisely. Like, you know, It's absolutely terrible, and that burdens me. It grieves me, and it's a burden in my heart, because I hate to see these churches like that over across the world, because we were over in America, the USA, for a couple of weeks, not recently, and we went to a church, to a service that was like that, and it was all just a humanitarian concern. It wasn't about the gospel. It wasn't about people getting right with God. It wasn't about God's righteousness and perfect justice and people admitting that they're filthy sinners and need to get right with God. It was about God loves you. Just come as you are. We've got to help people. We've got to be really nice and loving and all that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't just take. You can't pick and choose aspects of God. You have to take it all. If it says it in the Bible, if it says God's a perfect judge and he's a righteous judge and he's going to condemn the wicked if they reject him and his son, Lord Jesus, then that's what's going to happen. Yeah. It says it in God's word.
Amen. Too theologically advanced, amen. Who else want to give testimony? Come on up. I'll come back to you in a minute.
My name is Emmanuel. I'm 15 years old. I'm 15 years of age. I just want to give a testimony of how I got saved. When I was back home in Nigeria, I used to think that my country was like the worst place in the world because there's like violence and raping and all. But when I got to Ireland, I knew that it wasn't one of the worst places in the world, you know. Like, I've heard a lot of people say Europe is one of the most corruptible places in the world, you know. It's hard to find a Christian place in Europe. Like, most of the European countries, they're always crime corrupt and crimes everywhere. And when I got here, I got so used to it, you know. I saw friends everywhere, and they pushed me into things, but I didn't know anything then, you know. I just got to Europe, I knew nothing then. And for 2 years, I was just going away, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't listen to my parents. And when I came to camp in 2007, and I was listening to the pastor's preaching, and I knew that I wasn't doing the right thing, you know. I knew I was going astray. I wasn't following what God wanted me or what I meant to do. So on the 6th of July of 2007, I got saved. In Bethel Youth Camp, in this place, in Bethel Youth Camp. And after that, I've worked so hard, you know, just to change my life back. And I'm still working on it. And there are some things that I'm still repeating, but I just want to say, keep trying and don't give up, you know. Amen. Everything works better for God.
Come on, Shane. Watch out. How's it going? I'm Shane Quinn. I'm from Thailand, Dublin. I'm 28 years of age, for those who don't know me. For those, squeak. Now, I just want to testify of God's love for taking people from pits, really, you know what I mean, and bringing us there. Now, seating us among princes, because that's basically what we're doing, like, you know. I was addicted to all types of drugs, heroin, I started to do crack. I'm not going to get into it. I was a nasty, wicked person. I was a sinner. I still am a sinner. By the grace of God, I'm here, like, you know. Basically, I got saved on the 13th of January. I had a bad attack in my house. I was attacked with a sword. Not the double-edged sword, thank God. Thank Lord for that. I had a bad attack. I nearly died. I lost 3 points of blood. And, you know, that was God bringing me to my knees, letting me know I need to get right with God. I need to sort out my sins with God, you know. And, you know, I got saved the 13th of January in Lifegate Bible Baptist Church in Talley. And, I'm in the men's home 2.5 months, and lads, listen, it's a blessing being there, which is on. Pastor Pittman, it's a blessing to have you every week, man. We love having you, man. It's just, you know, even to be here down here this weekend, like, you know, who are we to be down here, lads? You know what I mean? Like, God's brought us from a terrible place, and, man, look where he's brought us now. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to praise the Lord for that. You know, it's a blessing, and we'll be definitely back next year, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to and praise the Lord for that. All right. Thanks very much.
It's good. Squid, right? Somebody with a name like that's got to preach, man.
Here's Brother Squid. Amen.
You did good. You did good. Anybody else want to give the testimony or preach? Let's hear a preacher. Who's got a message? Are you tired already? What's your problem, Jack? You know, when I go home on Sunday afternoon, you know what's funny? I go home, my wife says, man, I'm wrecked. I go, what'd you do, man? Did I see your hand?
Yeah.
But you're related to him.
Yeah, I know, but I've got Jennifer with him.
Are you going to be pink and fluffy?
No.
Okay, all right.
Okay, if you could turn to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, please.
Amen.
24 verse 14. And in chapter 14, and in verse 14 we read, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now I'm just going to share a part of my testimony, because I wasn't, no one sat down and led me to the Lord. I came to know the Lord through just reading my Bible and from going and just studying the stuff myself. Of course, the Holy Spirit was with me and convicting me and leading me, but I was by myself at the time. And I got saved, and when I got saved, I thought, look, you know, God's put a set of laws down, and I want to follow them with all my heart. I want to do it. And I didn't have a theological reason for most of the things I did, like, God just started to deal with me here and here and here. And I didn't understand. I couldn't give you a reason why these things were wrong. Like, really, it just, my heart convicted me. And the Holy Spirit said, this is wrong, get rid of it. I said, why is it wrong? He said, it's wrong, get rid of it. And I said, no, I don't want to get rid of it. I like it, get rid of it. And that, and thankfully, that is true. If you're not saved, you just are not bothered about anything you do. You just do as you please. But when God moves in, if there's no problems with what you're doing anymore, there's a problem, a big problem. And so I see here, and it says, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And the Lord did bless me. And I was, in all sincerity, I was trying to follow him. But then in time passed by, God says, look, we've got to move on to a bit more meaty stuff, so to speak. We can't just have you drinking milk all the time. I want you to know a bit more. And so it says here, sincerity and in truth. And see, I know a lot of people, and they're very sincere people, and I love them dearly. But the thing is, it says here, it doesn't just say, and serve him in sincerity, because in honesty, you can be sincerely wrong.
Right.
You can be sincerely deluded. And I've been deluded. And I'm not coming up here saying I'm greater than anyone else, because I have been sincerely wrong a lot of times in my life, and I admit that. And I have to speak to myself about that, and God deals with me enough about it. But God wants us to follow him in truth, and his word is truth. And a lot of the reason why Christians are the way they are today is simply because they won't pick up the Bible and read it. And most of them will admit it themselves. It was like one of the preachers said, they talk about the Holy Spirit, but they don't pick up their Bible.
Man.
So what are they going on about? They've got to start. They say, oh, I've got this gift and this gift and this gift. But, well, they've got the best gift in the world. But they're not even reading it. You know, and I read it, and I'm not perfect. I don't read it every day like I should. I've been dealt with about it, and I'm getting better bit by bit. But God is dealing with me about it. But it's just the way that you have to be sincere, but you have to have the truth at the same time, because without the truth, you've got no solid rock to stand upon. You can be swished around wherever you go. And see, and as well, you've got to put away the gods, we've got to put away our old gods, whatever sins entangle us. And like I said, when I was just first saved, there were sins in my life that needed to be dealt with. And I didn't understand fully why I had to get rid of them. But God said, get rid of them now. Do it. And I said, okay, God, I will. And he's still dealing with me. And And it's like one of the kids' songs, is God still working on me? And he's going to be working on me for a long time. And I'm thankful for this men's retreat because it's been a blessing to me. God has dealt with me, and he's going to keep on dealing with me. And it's helped me in many ways to get over some issues in my life only recently that have come up. And I thank you, Brother Ledbetter, for all you've done for organizing this. And I'm sure I represent everyone here for what you've done. And I just wanted to share that with you, and I thank God for all of you, and I just ask and pray that God will bless you. Amen. Okay, amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Who else? Okay.
No, I'm giving a testimony. Amen. I want to say, first of all, you said you guys shouldn't be here. None of us should be here. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. We shouldn't be here. Amen. About 3 months ago, I was supposed to represent our college at a place up in Ohio. Dr. Mitchell, our president, had talked to me about it. He had gone there the year before. And he said, I can't be there this year. He said, I think it's the 18th. He said, you need to check and make sure. So I wrote 18th down on my calendar and contacted them. They said, yes, come. And I wasn't supposed to preach, just represent the college. And so I got my plane tickets and I flew up there to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, then rented a car and drove to Ohio. No one's at the church. There's supposed to be 800 teenagers here. No one is there. There's nothing. It's desolate. So I got my email that I had talked to them, you know, back and forth, and got my email to get the man's number where I could call him and see what was going on. And it says, I wrote, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 13th. And it was a week later, a week later. And I even said 13th, but I just never looked at my book after I found out what the real date was. So just a wasted trip. I was stupid. It was stupid. Amen. And this was Saturday, nothing to do. I drove back to Pittsburgh, made a couple of phone calls, found a church to go to Sunday, preached there. It was great. I mean, they were having their second anniversary. The pastor said, you know, I didn't even call anybody, but he said, I was wishing I had a special singer. And here, so God, you know, God can take our stupidity and still get good out of it. And nothing that we can brag about, just being stupid. But the whole trip was about when I first left home that morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, I'm on my way to the airport, and I said, God, please put somebody beside me that's looking for you. I said, I'll witness to anybody, but put somebody there that's looking for you. And this guy in the Army sits down beside me. He was going home. He had come to Little Rock to do a 21-gun salute to a fallen soldier, someone who had died. On his way back to Fort Bragg, I started talking to him about the Lord, and he said he wasn't saved. I said, you know what I mean by saved? He says, yeah, I know what you mean. He said, my father-in-law is a preacher, and he's been talking to me about it. And anyway, I shared the gospel with him and got to the end. I said, would you like to receive Christ right now? And he said, I already tried that. It didn't work. And I said, well, you have a faith issue here. I said, you don't try to get saved. You don't try the Lord. I said, you trust the Lord. I said, when the night I got saved, when I called on the Lord, I knew he would save me. It was money in the bank. I knew it was going to happen. And I said, that's the way you get saved. You have to trust the Lord. And he said, well, pray for me. He said, I'm supposed to talk to my father-in-law again day after tomorrow, Sunday, or the next day. He said, pray for me that I get saved. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, my father-in-law told me a week ago, he said, you need to start praying and ask the Lord to reveal himself to you. And he said, this morning on the way to the airport, amen, on the way to the airport, I'm asking God, put somebody beside. He said, on the way to the airport, I asked God to reveal himself to me. And he said, and he put me on the plane with you. So the whole trip was stupid, amen, but the whole trip was about 14B. Seat 14B. The whole trip was about 14B. I just want to say, just pray, ask God. You know, when you go soul winning, whatever, ask God. I said, put me in front. God will do it. He's a matchmaker. Amen. Oh, I didn't tell the end. I didn't tell the end. He didn't get saved on the plane. He didn't get saved. I was, the phone was in the car. I was in a motel. Forgot my phone. I came out. The phone was beeping. I get a voicemail. He called me Buddy. He said, Buddy, said, this is so-and-so. He said, I just want you to know, said, I talked to my father-in-law about an hour and a half on the phone tonight. And he said, I just... He said, I just want you to know that I have faith now. And he says, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Amen.
Man, if only our mistakes were that good. Oh, amen. I think if we pray more, amen. We're just too worried about being perfect. Who else got it? Wow, fling that Bible. Amen. All right, somebody else. Yes, sir, brother. Looking forward to this. Amen. Amen.
Turn to Jeremiah 29:11, please.
Say that again in English.
Jeremiah 29:11.
29:11.
29. I can't say it in English. I'm Scottish. Say it in Scottish.
29:11.
Sorry.
Oh, that's good.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. That's what the Lord done for me.
Yes.
You know, he put that verse in my heart when I was in Teen Challenge, 2001, when I got saved.
Amen.
Caused you to be carried away captive. I believe the Lord caused me to be carried away because I was a captive to sin. I got saved in 2001. This will be shared with my testimony. And I fell away from the Lord. I fell away. I lost my faith. But as a dog returns to its vomit, that was me. But thank God for the men's home. Because thank God that he's a second chancer. He's God has second chances. I just praise God for my salvation. And praise God for Leighton Kelly.
Amen.
And the men's home.
Who else? Come on. The night is young. Dr. Pittman? Come on up. That's impossible.
The Lord wanted me to say this.
Amen.
I promise you, it won't be
barely 2 minutes. I'd like to just say, when we've been singing this song, Faithful Men, I praise God, and I don't want to take anything away from what God did tonight. To glory and honor be to God, what we heard from this pulpit tonight.
Yes.
Praise His blessed and holy name forever. I just want to just say, as I sang those songs the last two nights about faithful men, God only put two people on my heart. And I just want to praise God for the work they did. I praise God for Brother Ledbetter, that he has been faithful for 14 years. And he's been down here knocking it against the wall, sometimes just him and Jesus. And I praise God for someone that has faithful and consistent. And as I listen to the young men from the home, just, you know, stand up saying thank God for the home, thank God for LifeGate Bible Baptist Church, I thank God that God called a man with longevity and tenacity to come to Tala in 79 and knock on doors. And I thank God for Brother Zemeski and the work he did.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Somebody else. Brother, come on in.
The reason I'm up, I want to take this opportunity because the Lord has laid it in my heart to get up here like and talk, you know. I don't want to be sitting down there like and saying nothing. The Lord dealt with me in the last session, and he dealt with me about my disobedience to him. And he dealt with me specifically about what's in this Psalm 73. Psalm 73:17. It's talking here basically about soul winning. And it's talking about You know, when we're looking out into the world and we're seeing people and we're seeing them with their riches and we're seeing them like they're driving nice cars and they have good jobs and life is good for them, you know. And maybe we've been a Christian for a while and gone out soul winning and then we start losing my zeal for going back out. Start looking at myself. Yeah? And what I want to say is this, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. First of all, I got to get into the sanctuary of God. Mm-hmm. And I begin to find out that that's where I get my strength. Amen. Because no matter what I have to do, I have to go in front of God. Like, mm-hmm. And I have to stay there in front of Him. And I have to be on my knees in front of Him. And I don't get up until I hear from Him. Mm-hmm. And I get strength from Him then. Mm-hmm. But like even at that keeps me going. I got to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. All the time, I got struggles. All the time, I got to go back down. All the time, my biggest struggle is to walk up to people and witness to them.
That's right.
I'm on my heart all the time. Mm-hmm. It's people, and I see them, and they're going to hell. And I'm walking past them knowing that. And it's killing me.
Amen.
And I love God, you know. Amen. I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love what he's done for me. Amen. And my family. And I don't want to go back out of here.
Amen.
And walk past anybody anymore. I want to be able to walk up to people and I want to be able to witness to them. So I'm asking you to pray for me. Pray for me that I'll get that strength, that I won't let people die and go to hell for the lack of a witness. For what did he say? He wants a real Christian. That those are the words the preacher used. And he's standing and he was looking at me. So that's why I came up.
Amen.
That's
right.
Man, we're getting some preaching. Is that Brother Dick? Come on.
In First Peter. Chapter 5 and verse 5. Scripture says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. And giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
5:6. 1 Peter 5:6.
That he may exalt you in due time. I never forget what Brother Buddy said last year. If you're proud, not only do you have God on your side, but He's resisting you. And I'll never forget that. You don't want God resisting you. I think we forget that. And I was earnest to preach. This wasn't the text. But God will change. And there's always been a pride there. And you don't want to admit it. And you just don't want to admit it. When the Lord deals with you, you just have a
a way of rationalizing it. And more I can say, but God needs humble men, and a lot of the reason we don't see power is because we're not humble.
That's right.
Because God gives grace unto the humble.
Amen.
It's God's grace that we're meant to operate through. We're not humble, so we don't receive God's grace. Pride is a very infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
A very infectious thing. And
1 minute.
Okay. I guarantee that each one of us has a streak of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And the catch 22 is that we're too proud to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And best thing we can do is to do that. Just admit before the Lord that we're proud, and I prayed earnestly after the preaching this evening. You know what? I don't weep for the lost.
That's right.
And I don't weep over sin. And you know what God told me? Today, if I gave you tears, you'd be proud over those tears. Look at me. And told him, Lord, I'm afraid because I've struggled with this for so long. If I just walk out into this world again, I'm just going to keep struggling. And I said, Lord, I need you.
Amen.
My time is up.
Amen.
You know, it's especially powerful when the Lord's dealing with you about something. Amen. Don't be shy. Just, you know, it helps us, man. It helps us. Brother Dennis, come along, brother. This is a faithful man. He's one of the men I lean on and I love dearly.
Hello, everyone.
Amen.
It's great to be here.
Yes, amen.
It's a great blessing to see so many young people here.
Amen.
You know, it's absolutely marvelous.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Tony for his testimony, and I know Tony's heart.
Yes.
But Tony has been greatly, greatly blessed by the Lord. 6 years ago, he got saved. His son John got saved.
Yep.
His daughter Dina got saved. And his wife got saved. The whole family saved.
Amen.
And that's something else. Like, that's an awful lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
You know? Do you know that I'm old enough to be Buddy's father? So he has to be quiet. As a message tonight was on behaving yourself and teaching your children properly. But just to make it brief, it's just a short testimony as to how I got saved.
Amen.
And it started above in the Mansion House in Dublin in 1973. I was at what they call Satsang. And the Guru's brother that I had at that time was, he made a statement, and I'll read out the verse he read out. And he says, about Jesus, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. But he was implying that his brother was the comforter that Jesus spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything about the Bible at that time. I learned little or nothing. I had been into yoga for years, but from the time I was 16 until I was 14 when I got saved. But I couldn't accept that verse, and so some time later, this would have been 73, January 74, I was looking for. I had went to Texas, if you forgot, where Pastor Craig came from, in November 73, and I came back over about disillusioned. I went out to see the guru, which was a thing called satsang, a discourse outside there, and I came back very disenchanted with the whole thing. But then I started reading the Bible, and I started revelations for a while, I don't know, but all I was getting out of it was headaches, you know. I decided that I only had a New Testament, that I'd get a full Bible. So my wife had seen one on a Saturday evening, or Saturday morning, down in a place called Robert Street in Cork. And I went down to get it for Tuscombe when I went down there. But I was looking at the books inside, and there was lots of books there on Christianity, but I wasn't really interested. But there was one book there, and the title of it was Christianity According to Jesus Christ. No, I said, I picked it up and I threw it open at random, you know. And there was the verse in front of me. So I read the verse. I bought the book. It cost me 45 pence. The book was, I was 81 years old at that time. And there's a man by the name of Munro wrote it. And it had to do with about the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus' view on it and the Holy Spirit. So I read the book 4 or 5 times, and from that on, I didn't care who spoke about Jesus. Once I went to swear word, I went to hear him. But I knew that my life changed completely.
Amen.
And that for the first time I felt clean, you know.
Amen.
And I had a drink problem before that, up to 67, 2 trips to the mental institution. And it wasn't a nice place. It was the place where the bad fellas went, you know. And I came out and I went on the ride on the 17th of August 1967. I had my last drink after having a bad day before that as a curer, and I made up my mind never to drink again after that. But at that time, no, I wasn't saved. I knew nothing about salvation because it wasn't an expression that was used in Cork at the time, you know, even though there were Christians there, but they were kind of secret ones, you know. And I could see Tony's heart on that as well tonight. I got saved, in 74.
Amen.
And from that time on, I never looked back, really, because the Lord has been very, very good to me.
Amen.
I remember there a number of years back, it would be about 9 years ago. 9 years ago, my brother is here tonight. He got saved 12 months ago at 67 years of age.
Hey.
I know. He said to me, he said, how old are you? And I said, 65. He says, it's a miracle. He says, I thought you wouldn't make it to 35. Because I was very, I was a peevish kid. I was very saucy. Very quick tempered, you know. And it had me plagued, actually. But, then I was witnessing to my mother, and my mother got saved.
Yes.
And she was a Dublin woman, actually.
Yeah.
Well, she was born in Dublin, and maybe that's what it was. But she got saved and baptised in Glendalough at 80 years of age.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So since then, some other members of my family got saved, but I'll cut it short. I'd just like to thank Jesus, Lord, for all his goodness to me, Lord, and for everybody else as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Brother Dennis. All right, just a few more. Yes, sir, brother, come on up.
Amen. Good evening, everybody. It's just a short testimony and just a verse that, you know, meant so much to me. We went out today, we went for a little drive, and, you know, we time to think, and, you know, we're so blessed to be here amongst all those people, you know. And, you know, to have a pastor like we have, you know, there's good pastors here, you know, but we have the best pastor this side of heaven, you know, and he just does so much for us. But, you know, I was knocked down by a truck just over 2.5 years ago, and, you know, with lots of damage done, the spinal damage was. You know, I broke my leg, and, you know, my hip was out of place, and
You know, I remember a nurse coming in and saying, you know, you shouldn't be alive, you know. And she said to me, you know, they asked me my problems and stuff, and I told her, you know, I'm just caught up in addiction, you know, since I was a kid. You know, I'm not young, I'm 40 years of age. And yeah, you and the Lord, yeah, amen, yeah. But, you know, she spoke to me for a while, and, you know, she spoke about Jesus, and you know, he said, he will deliver you from this, he will, you know, he will ease your burdens, and he will get you out of this mess. And, you know, I'd nowhere to go, I'd no home to go to, and, you know, I was on the streets, and, you know, the hospital, them at the hospital sent me to a Christian house, where I couldn't drink, and I couldn't take drugs. I couldn't walk. But, two lads from Lifegate Church, Lifegate Bible Baptist Church, came. And, you know, I was only short of being in a cast from head to toe. And these two lads, Jeff Parker and Greg Heaton, you know, they said to me that night, you know, come along, we'll lay down them seats, we'll stretch you into the car, you know, into the van. And praise God, you know, I done that. I got in. They lifted me, I got in. I got to meet a man called Leighton Kelly.
Amen.
And, you know, I got to have a relationship with the best father in this, you know, I could ever have the best relationship. You know, and just driving up the road today, you know, I got this verse a long time ago, and just recently, Paul's girl from America came over, and, you know, I was driving through, you know, where I used to live, and she said to me, I was driving past the police station, you know, and I've spent a lot of time in that police station. And, you know, it's Deuteronomy 15:15. And, you know, never forget where God has brought you from. Never, you know. And, you know, I am young in the Lord, and, oh, he's opening up so many doors, you know. Your young ministry in Tally has only started, you know, as most of you know. And that is going to grow, guaranteed, you know.
Amen.
We're talking about graduation programs and all now, you know.
Yeah.
And Leighton has asked me, you know, to steward them, you know, the graduations program, you know. 2 years ago, I couldn't tie my own laces, you know. I'm driving the men's home van now. And I've done none of it. I've done absolutely none of it, you know. God has done it all. You know, and in that verse, Deuteronomy 15:15, and thou shalt remember that thou was a bondsman in the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
Thingless was my Egypt, you know. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee.
Amen.
You know, and I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
You know, I just today, just over this conference and like, you know, over this mission, the Lord has been speaking to me and saying, you know, if you're not gonna take heed to what I'm saying, I'm not gonna stop speaking to you. And I just say to you all, you know, the Holy Spirit is dealing with us in any way, take heed to it. Because we certainly am. You know? And I just want to thank you all once again.
Amen.
Amen.
Wyatt, you're going to testify? Get up here.
Glory to you.
Even my phone knows him. When he rings, he goes, Claudio Roballo.
I don't have much to say, really. It's just one thing that amazes me is these fellas here who came from Dublin.
Yeah.
And they've put us all to shame.
Yeah.
They have done what, in 6 months, what some of us have been trying to do for years.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to learn from these fellas and don't ever think you don't belong with us.
Yeah.
You belong more with us than we belong with you.
Amen. Amen.
The changes that you guys have done is
it's
a miracle in itself.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I come from a similar background. I was also into crack. I was into my LSD, marijuana, alcohol, and the Lord also brought me out of it.
Amen.
You know, but I still do have my struggles, and that's why I say you guys have beat me to it, and I've been saved for 11 years I've been saved, and I'm still struggling with my strongholds. So don't ever think you don't deserve it. Be part of our family.
Amen.
And you always will be.
Amen.
Sit.
Amen.
What am I looking at? Bill, okay.
I just wanted to say that I've been at these events for the past 10, how many years were we here, Craig?
13 years.
Well, I must have been here 12 of them. So, but I mean, I've watched the growth of this over the years, and been subject to a lot of the preaching, which is absolutely amazing over the time. But I just wanted to acknowledge our pastor as well, because over that time he has been fantastic to us. And it's difficult at times, because sometimes we don't tell him this, but I think it's only right that we need to tell him in public. And from my point of view, he was very instrumental in getting, well, showing me the way to salvation as well. My own background, grew up in the Church of Ireland, and of course I kind of wandered a bit from that, but I was into the Bible, and I started probably reading it from the beginning. I got as far as Leviticus, I think, and that was pretty tough going, because I really didn't understand what it was saying, you know. And I think I kind of saw a kind of harsh God that was coming across at me, and I never quite understood it. And in fact, I drifted away from it at that stage. And later on in college, I learned about evolution and went even further away. I then drifted into Scientology, and of course, they have their way of drumming what their viewpoint is into you. And so by the time I came out of it, I was in quite a mess. And I put this man through about 2 years of questions. So I think he learned theology from that process. But I certainly learned a lot myself. And after I ran out of questions, I finally one evening, he wasn't even present, I think I was with Martin actually, and Martin had given me a tape on the Sin Factor by Isaac Max Hiles. Yeah, it's quite scary stuff. I never even went back to him since, you know. But it scared me enough to get on my knees that night. And I remember the peace that came into me was quite incredible. And, you know, it's so a lot of thanks, and thanks again to everyone.
Meek, mild Bill Dillon comes to my door the next morning. I don't know if it's 9 or 9:30 or whatever, and he's at my door. And I mean, this guy's you know, got a million questions, but he's at my door at 9 in the morning, and he goes, and I go, "What's up, Bill?" "I got saved, amen." What do you point at? Who you point at? I don't know who you point at. You got to say his name. Oh, that young man, is he volunteering you, or are you volunteering? A little of both, amen? All right, come on.
And we're going to put something together,
okay,
in case you put me on the spot. But
he put you on the spot.
Okay, let's give this a shot.
Give it a shot.
Well, what I'm going to try and preach on is John 3:16.
Good. Amen.
Amen.
That'll work.
And, but obviously I want us to go to John 3:16, but I also want us to keep a finger in Romans 3:23.
Amen.
Okay, but before I start on John 3:16, we'll start from John 3:13. Derry in Blanche always teaches you should read the Bible in context, because people can take it out of context. It says in the Bible that there is no God. But if you read the bit before, it says the fool says in his heart there is no God. Yeah, you just have to be careful with the Bible. Okay, let's give this a shot. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. And this is the important verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved.
Amen.
He believed on him. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay. First, I want to draw your attention to... Okay, sorry. John 3:16 is an important verse. It tells you how to get into heaven. I don't know, maybe one of the most important verses in the Bible.
Amen.
Why it's important, this is why I asked you to keep your fingers in Romans 3:23. It's because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, we're not all condemned now. We were all condemned. Well, most of us were anyway. But God has saved us from hell. And I want to bring your attention to John 3:14. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I think the story about that is in... Hold on, I have notes here. Numbers 21 verses 4 to 9. It's about where the Israelites were sinning and God sent serpents in, and because they were sinning, I think they were fiery serpents, maybe, could have been, people were being bitten by these serpents, and Moses made a brass serpent and stuck it up in a pole, and if you looked at this serpent you would have been healed. That's just another way of trusting God to heal you, like John 3:16. That's pretty much my message. But to conclude, probably most of you are asking why I'm telling you how to get into heaven. Most of you are probably saved in this room, but I'm sure there's one or two who aren't saved. This is important for you. It's kind of like if a missionary from a very young age maybe went over to Africa or Asia as a missionary, and his whole life he brought one person to God, his life as a missionary would have been worth it.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I put together.
You can. Get up here. While he's coming up here, let me just read something for you. I don't know what that phone is doing over there, but it is cursed, amen? Something's a-buzzing. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. That young man doesn't have a Bible training and a theological background to be standing up behind that pulpit.
Oh, yeah?
And they said unto Jesus, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Have ye not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, watch this, hast thou perfected praise. We can learn a lot from some of you. Come on up here and close us out. And when you're finished, now if you don't tear us all to pieces, we've already been torn up, amen. But when you finish, what? No, sir. We've got more. Oh, you got to leave tomorrow. If you want to finish, let me let him speak. Then I'm trying to close. You know how a Baptist preacher, the worst thing a preacher says is, in conclusion, and you go, yeah, right. Amen. Go ahead, brother, and then Brother Zemeski will finish and pray.
I feel like the second best day in my life. That's when I got married. I stood up to say a speech, and I just blanked. And you're probably wondering, what's the first day? What's the best first day in my life? And that's when I got saved.
Amen.
Yeah. So I have a message. I think I worked out something on a message of salvation. If there's any here that are not saved, how can we get saved from our sin? We all know that the penalty of sin is death. We know what's happening when we die. We go to hell. Mm-hmm. We're going to burn in the lake of fire. I don't think any one of us here want to burn in the lake of fire. I'm sure most of us here got burned by the fire at some stage, or by boiled water, you know, and it's very, very painful. Now, can you imagine being tormented for eternity in fire? I definitely don't want to be there. Thank God I'm saved. Our God is the creator of this world, and He's a gracious God. And He sent His only Son to die for our sins. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We are God's creation. God is our Father. He made us, basically. He made us. So, He loves us. Now, can you imagine a father that doesn't love his son or his daughter? So that's how much God loves us. God loves us. God's love is tremendous.
Amen.
Sure is. Tremendous. Now, Genesis says that when God, our Creator, saw everything that He had made, it was very good. God was pleased. God was pleased with His creation. Now, by trade, I'm by trade a carpenter. So when I do a bit of work, when I get to do a bit of work, hang a door or lay down a floor, I stand back and look, wow, that's good. That's great. That is great. So I'm pretty sure God done the same thing when He did the same thing. God wouldn't want to destroy us. I wouldn't want to destroy my work. I love my work. So God definitely doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to save us from our sin. He wants to save us. So God also said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So there is a Savior out there, and His name is Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it tells us, the Bible, the truth. If we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of our Lord and Savior, we can get saved.
Amen.
We can be saved and have everlasting life by His grace. There's nothing in this world that we can do to prove to God. No works that we can, not by works. Just by His grace. We have to trust God.
Yeah.
There's nothing in this world we can do to prove to God that we don't deserve to go to hell. God is a gracious God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, the answer is yes, we can get saved. Now, Romans 10:13 tells us, "For whomsoever shall believe, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved."
Amen.
And it doesn't say a name. It just says whomsoever. So that can be anyone.
Amen.
Isn't that right? And I have also, that can be anyone. And just to prove you from the Bible, going back now to Romans 10:12. "For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon Him."
That's good.
So it's great to know that, isn't it?
Yes.
I got saved last year in March, 22nd March. Amen. Pastor Les led me to the Lord. Thanks very much. That is the best thing that's ever happened in my life.
Amen.
So I'm still struggling at the moment, but I know I'll get there.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
So we got a final one, but we've got another opportunity tomorrow to have a few more of you give your testimony and preaching. What we do? Love to mess you. We'll close this out tonight after you do with prayer.
There's a. I want to address two things. I want to address one of the preachers, and I want to address the rest of us. You sing a song in here, A Few Good Men.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jerome and I know that that is a motto of the Marines. I'm 63 years old. I've been here 29 years next
Amen.
Month.
Amen.
My goal and my objective has drastically changed since I come to the island in many respects. But one thing that hasn't changed is that my desire was to see men and women saved.
Amen.
But that I believed with all my heart that if Ireland was going to be reached, it was going to be reached through trained national leaders.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's true.
I've heard more funny languages coming out of your mouth today. I don't mean that derogatorily, because I only heard people with marbles in their mouth from Cork. And I heard people from Tralee singing. And I've heard funny accents from Ulster and various. And now I hear people from maybe where my folks came from. You men have been a blessing.
Amen.
To hear you. You pastors, you missionaries, need to be willing to give up your ministries and let the Irish and the nationals do the work.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Ledbetter, I don't want to see you change. I don't want to see this type of ministry stop.
Amen.
Today, Brother Gene was told that he's got 6 months left to live in the 3.5 months left to stay in the country. Now, for some strange reason, if the Irish government wants to kick out the best thing that's going to happen to Ireland and get rid of the missionaries, may I ask you who's going to do the work? You men who are leaders need to be training leaders.
Amen.
I want to see him stay. I want to see this continue. But he may not always be here.
That's right.
Now, there's another thing that I wanted to address. The topic about brokenness. Everybody seems to start out saying how great and perfect a man Job was. May I remind you something? If Job was the best man there was, where does that leave you and I?
Yes, sir.
Now, God starts peeling back the onion on any one of us, and he's going to find sin.
Amen. That's right.
Now, therefore, we all have a core problem.
Amen.
And our brother was preaching about it, basically being pride. Pride is what brought Satan down. Pride is the core of everything that we do wrong. You men who have given a testimony about you ain't been there, or the other fellow, the brother just spoke. What country are you from?
Romania.
I haven't made it. I'm trying. I'm doing this. Look, I'm going to give you four things, and I'm done. Psalm 34, verse 18 said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." How you start is how God wants you to finish.
Amen.
Amen.
the secret for you as either a new convert or you as the oldie moldies. When it's talking about a brokenness, it is not a one-time event. You're not going to break and say, hey, I've made it, I've arrived. Hey, the greatest guy that we've ever saw preaching in the New Testament said, I have not arrived.
That's right. That's right.
Well, if Paul hadn't arrived, how's any of us going to arrive? The man, I didn't quite catch all what BC said, but he said there's a lot of bends in the road. And we might say in America a lot of curveballs being thrown, and maybe some hurling or a curling effect of the soccer kick. We'd say, hey, man, look at that. It went around, and I wasn't expecting that one. All right. Look at three other verses, and I'm done. If you go to Romans chapter 12, and I'm only trying to nail home my one point. Many of you know all the verses anyway, but for those of you that don't, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What kind of sacrifice? How many times does sacrifice have to be killed?
Just once.
Just once. But if I understand the Bible correctly, it says it's a living sacrifice. Now, you men said you get up, praise the Lord, you go to bed, praise the Lord. Do you have problems every day?
Yes, sir.
He said, to be holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service, you have to be a living sacrifice.
Amen.
All right, let's go to another verse. 1 Corinthians 15. Here, I thought I was going to tell some of you something new, but I guess not. I guess there's nothing really new in the Word of God, and I hear a lot of good things from you men. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. Paul was saying, I protest about your rejoicing, which I have in Christ our Lord. He said, I die daily.
Amen.
How often is the living sacrifice to be killed? Every day.
Amen.
A contrite heart. Having the onion peeled back and the Holy Spirit of God and His Word speaking, coming to you each day, you learn what a vile person you are.
Yes, that's right.
One more. Galatians. Some of you know it by heart. 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of this God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Again, Paul is saying a daily experience.
That's good.
So when the preacher reveals to you something in your life that's there, yeah, it's something that you have to be broken of, but in another terminology, it's something you have to die to. And the whole idea is, in the Christian life, we're talking with Brother Craig in the car, the victory that we have is only sustained and only maintained on a daily basis. Because anything that you think you've conquered today starts over again as soon as you do. You know, I don't remember the joke, and I probably can't tell it very well, but I remember the guy was talking about how wonderful a day was and how things were going off just great, and then I got out of bed. And for some of us, we don't even start. Some of it happens before, but the whole point is, men, you men who have given this testimony, it's a daily walk.
Amen.
It's a daily experience. And the whole idea of the preaching and the thing is to maybe reveal some things that you're blind to or hardened to. And to let God see and let God show you. And then the whole idea of walking with Him, the whole idea of having this contrite attitude, the idea of the other thing we're talking about, humility. But it comes all back to what Brother Les was saying about the pride.
Amen.
Men, it's been a pleasure to know you, to hear you. But I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, I'm begging you, for some of you to let God use you and you step forward and say, God's called me to preach.
Amen.
God wants
Amen.
Me. I don't care how much Bible learning you have. It starts with a broken heart.
Amen.
It starts with a willingness to be used of Him. And then let Him do it.
Amen.
Let Him do it. I mean, if He can use Les Hill.
Amen.
I mean,
Amen.
Preach,
brother.
Go ahead.
I'm always asking.
That's true.
Amen.
That is true.
He has much better start in his life, in his ministry, than I'd ever have. Men, my parents were immigrants from Europe to America. My father only had a fourth grade education from Poland. My mother made it to the sixth class in Russia. And none of them had any higher education and couldn't speak English properly. And when God said, I want you to preach, I want you to be in the ministry, I said, you got to be kidding. I can't even put a sentence together right. And yet God has used me. And not because of anything about me other than somebody said, brother said, you've been faithful. Hey, that's the easy part. One fundamental thing. The Lord said it's required of stewards to be found faithful.
Yes.
If nothing else, I can stand still and be used for target practice. Amen? God said to stand your ground.
Amen.
To be steadfast. I'm not the brightest light bulb in the pack. But I can shine
Amen.
With what I have and be used with what I have. And so can you.
Yes,
and I beg of you again, God's looking for a few faithful men. As someone has said, you guys are the greatest. But God's got to pull some of you. Some of you have to yield yourself in your pride and say, I'll let God use me. Please. Father in heaven, use these men.
Amen.
Thank you for Brother Craig. Thank you for Brother Bunkall coming.
Amen.
Thank you for Les and for Brother Pittman. I appreciate so much the tenacity. I appreciate so much the desire. I appreciate Tony saying, I want to do it and I don't know how or I don't have the courage. Or, Lord, we're all weak. We're all fall short of what you expect of us and want of us. I pray that you might use us, each and every one, as we yield ourselves to you, that you would, Lord, make us a blessing to someone else. Like Brother Buddy was saying, put somebody next to me. Put somebody around me.
Amen.
But help us, Lord, to get up out of our seat like Brother Hayes said.
Amen.
And to get into action and to be used of you. Thank you again for Pastor Ledbetter.
Amen.
And thank you again for the opportunity to be here among such great men.
Amen.
And among those that you have, Lord, so graciously sown your salvation to.
Yeah.
I pray your blessings to these men in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.